Good morning. We're actually going to start some of the music. And it's 298 in the Blue Book. And join as you are ready. It's a prayerful song. 298 in the Blue Book.
Singing, so I want you to keep singing Veni Sancte Spiritus, and while you're singing this very serious contemplative song, I want you to bring one shoe to the front and make a display of who's here, and return with one shoe on. Let's keep going. Title today is Kicked Out of Our Comfort Zones. And just like when you kick sometimes really hard, a shoe flies off. And you have to deal with that. We wanted to kick us out at least a little bit, a taste of discomfort. As you're sitting there with one shoe on and one shoe off, our hope and prayer is that you'll attune a little bit more to what Pastor Kirk Hanger is bringing to us today. We'll focus on themes of diversity dynamics, And in a way, this is a symbol or an image of diversity right up here. If you look down at your own feet, maybe there's some invitation there as well. I'm just glad I wore socks with no holes today. Themes of diversity dynamics and the vocation of faith communities looking at the Tower of Babel, Pentecost, and Revelation to show that God's plan from the beginning has always been diversity. However, like those at Babel, we tend to want to stay in our comfort zones. We might wish we still had both shoes on. We tend to stay with people like us. Maybe we sat with people like us today. But God nudges, pushes, and sometimes kicks us out of our comfort zones for our own growth and for the fulfillment of God's mission in the world. Caleb is introducing our visiting pastor this morning, and then we'll proceed through the service. Thank you, Caleb.
Good morning, everyone. Kirk Hanger is founding pastor of New Hope Fellowship Alexandria, Virginia, where I was interned this past summer. Kirk and his wife Marilyn are parents of two grown sons who I'm happy to know. The Hanger served as church planters in Mexico City for 11 years and were involved in starting three churches there in one of the largest cities in the world. Kirk continues as a mentor and leader in the REMI network of churches, which began just in Mexico City and now has churches in North America and several other countries as well. Kirk grew up in Waynesboro, Virginia, and graduated from Eastern Mennonite University, Palmer Theological Seminary, and the Fuller Theological Seminary. Kirk is an ordained minister through Franconia Conference and Area Conference of Mennonite Church USA. Please join me in welcoming my good friend, Pastor Kirk.
I think this is the first time I've ever preached with one shoe on and one shoe off, so it's a new experience. It's good to be back in this chapel because this place has been significant in my life. I remember that it was a couple of weeks in early 1992, I was thinking of inviting Marilyn Castle out on a date. She was a young woman from Souderton, Pennsylvania. And in our freshman year, we had gotten to know each other because, I don't know if you still do this, I was in what used to be Oakwood, is now Cedarwood. They tore Oakwood down and now Cedarwood. She was in North Lawn, and we had a brother-sister floor relationship. Do you still do that? Maybe you don't. Anyway, I got to know her that way. And then in 1981, we both went on what was called Jerusalem term at that time. I think it's called the Middle East term. But I don't know how much of an impression I made on her because we were standing by the Red Sea there in the Sinai. And this beautiful full moon was coming up. And I was standing beside her and she looked at me and she said, "Oh, what a rotic night." And I said, "What is rotic?" And she said, "It's romantic without the man." So I don't think I had impressed her very much at that point. But I think when we got back from that experience and we'd see each other over here in the library, I'd always try to make my way by the carousel where she was studying and try to talk to her, and felt like things were starting to warm up. So I finally mustered up the courage to invite her out for a date, but I didn't quite know how to do it. So I remember in one chapel I walked in, I was sitting over in this area, and when I sat down in the bench there, I looked down and there was a Pizza Hut coupon on the floor. This is a sign from heaven. I'll invite her out for pizza. So about a week later, I was over on this side, and we were having a hymn sing. And maybe the hymns inspired me or something, but between two hymns, I leaned over and I said, "Would you like to go out for pizza on Friday night?" And she said, "Yes." And I kid you not, the next hymn that we sang was, "It Is Well With My Soul." So, this place has special memories for me. As Brian said, I want to talk to you this morning a little bit about comfort zones. Comfort zones are those places or those situations where we feel at ease and relaxed. And we all have our comfort zones, and that's okay. We need to be in comfort zones from time to time. We can't live outside of our comfort zone all the time. It would be too stressful, too traumatic. But on the other hand, it's not healthy for us to always live within our comfort zones. Sometimes we need to get out of that. But as Brian mentioned, we as human beings tend to have the tendency to want to stay where we are comfortable, to stay in the places and with the people that we're most comfortable with, to limit our participation in activities that we feel most comfortable with. But from my experience, God has a tendency of sometimes nudging, pushing, or even kicking us out of the comfort zone. We see it happening in the Bible. For example, in the book of Genesis, in chapter 1, verse 23, God said to Adam and Eve, "Be fruitful and multiply, increase and subdue the earth." But then in Genesis chapter 11, when the people are building the Tower of Babel, it says in chapter 11, verse 4, "Then they said, 'Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we will be scattered over the face of the whole earth.'" So humanity didn't want to be scattered. They wanted to be together, to be comfortable in one place. But that wasn't God's plan. God's plan was for humanity to be scattered over all the earth. And so God kicked them out of their comfort zone, and they had to scatter. God wanted to deliver the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt. And he had the perfect man for the job, Moses. Moses had grown up in Egypt, so he knew the Egyptian language and culture. And then he had spent 40 years out in the desert. He knew the desert ways. He'd be the perfect guide through that land. And so God spoke to Moses in a burning bush. But Moses didn't want to leave the comfort zone of the desert. He said, "Send somebody else. I can't speak. I can't do it." And God kept pushing and pushing until Moses got out of his comfort zone and went to Egypt. And God used him to lead the Israelites out of their slavery. In Matthew 28, Jesus told his followers to make disciples of all nations. And then in Acts 1:8, he said, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria until the ends of the earth." And yet the Christians in Jerusalem didn't leave Jerusalem to fulfill that task until persecution broke out, and it was more uncomfortable to stay than to leave. And so they left. And it says that some of them that went to Antioch still stayed in their comfort zone, and they preached only to the Jews. But some were willing to step out of their comfort zone, we're told in Acts 11, and they began to share the good news with the Gentiles, and many of them became believers. So why does God do this? Doesn't God want us to be happy? Doesn't God want us to be comfortable? Well, not always. Sometimes he pushes us, kicks us out of the comfort zone. But why? Well, I think to begin with, God does it to keep us humble. One of the reasons the people built the Tower of Babel was, as Genesis 11:4 says, so that we may make a name for ourselves. In other words, it was out of pride. We want to be prideful. And if you think about it, oftentimes it is pride that keeps us in our comfort zones. In our comfort zones, we feel confident. In our comfort zones, we feel superior. In our comfort zones, we can do it. But when we are outside of our comfort zones, we feel vulnerable. We may even feel foolish. God gets us out of our comfort zones to keep us humble, to keep us dependent on him. But humility is also necessary for growth, and that's another reason why God kicks us out of our comfort zones. Think for a moment the times when you have grown the most, and there are probably times when you have been pushed or kicked out of your comfort zone. Maybe in sports, you've been pushed by a coach beyond what you thought you could. He was pushing you, but in that pushing, and you were able to grow and develop. Or academically, when you've been challenged with new things and you felt uncomfortable, it's probably been a time of growth. As Caleb mentioned, in 1993, my wife, Marilyn, and our two sons, young sons at the time, moved from southeastern Pennsylvania to Mexico City. one of the largest cities in the world, about 28 million people. We went there to be involved in a church planting initiative of the Mennonite Church in Mexico City. When we went, we didn't speak Spanish. We didn't like spicy food. We had never lived in a big city, and we had never planted a church. Let me tell you, we were way out of our comfort zone, feeling very uncomfortable for a good while. But we grew. Over time, we grew. Y ahora sí, hablo español. Now I speak Spanish. The spicier the food, the better. Ask Caleb. I like to live in big cities. I now live in the Washington, D.C. area. And we have planted churches. And my comfort zone has expanded. But even so, God continues to push me beyond, out of that comfort zone. So for our growth, God sometimes kicks us out of our comfort zone. But in the end, it's not just about our growth. It's about God's kingdom growth as well. In 2 Corinthians 5:11 through chapter 6, verse 1, it tells us that God has a mission in the world. And God's mission is to reconcile the world, reconcile all humanity to himself through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. In the same passage, it tells us that we are co-workers with God. We get to work with God and what God is doing in the world. We're his co-workers. In other words, God is depending on us as human beings to help him fulfill his mission in the world. There's a phrase I like that I heard somebody say. It says, God has a mission and God's mission has a church. Or God has a mission and God has you and me to be involved in that mission in the world. Being a Christian means being part of the greatest movement on earth, being part of the Jesus movement. The Jesus movement. Our leader is not dead. He is alive. He rose from the dead. And he is with us through the Holy Spirit. And so empowered by the Spirit, we continue the work of Jesus in the world. Sometimes people have asked me what I do for a living. And so rather than giving them a direct answer, I will sometimes say something like this. Well, I work for an international organization, and we have offices in every country in the world. Our organization works in healthcare, education, community development. We help troubled marriages and families. We run rehab centers and orphanages. We visit prisoners and help ex-offenders. We feed the hungry, work with immigrants, fight racism, and help people find ultimate purpose and meaning in life. You might say, wow, who do you work for? I say the church. Part of the Jesus movement. And it's the greatest experience of my life. To join with Jesus and what he's doing in the world. We all have different gifts, different abilities, different callings, but we can all join with what God is doing in the world to reconcile the world to himself. And as Paul says in 2 Corinthians, to be ambassadors, to be messengers, to be co-workers with what God is doing. But if we are going to be co-laborers, co-workers with God in God's mission field, we're going to have to get out of our comfort zones. He's going to push us and kick us out at times so we can join with what he's doing in the world. So this morning, I want to challenge you to get out of the comfort zone that you realize is holding you back. That comfort zone is that's keeping you from growing, from expanding, from moving beyond where you are. And I want to encourage you to live a life so that in the years to come, when you look back, you won't say, if only. If only I'd stayed in school and graduated. If only I had sought help for that problem that I was facing. If only I'd forgiven that person and sought reconciliation. If only I'd taken that tough assignment. If only I'd gone on that cross-cultural experience. If only I'd taken advantage of those opportunities that were afforded to me. If only I'd gotten to know Jesus sooner. If only. Living in this way will mean stepping out of your comfort zone. It will mean stretching yourself and moving beyond where you always feel comfortable. But it will also lead to a life of growth. It will lead to a life of deep satisfaction. And I believe it will lead to a life of fewer regrets. And so, this morning, if God is nudging, pushing, or kicking you out of your comfort zone, I want to encourage you to take that leap. Jump. You're not alone. God has promised to go with us into that discomfort, into that fear, into that unknown. God is faithful, and He has promised that He will never leave us nor forsake us. So take that jump. Step out and experience the adventures that God has for us. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You that You love us more than we can possibly imagine. And we thank You that You have a mission, the mission of reconciling the world to Yourself and transforming everything. And You call us to join with You in this amazing mission in the world, each of us with our gifts, our calling, our opportunities to join with You. And we know, Lord, to do that, to join You in this great mission in the world, will mean us being uncomfortable at times. But we know that as we step out of that discomfort, we grow, we know You better, we learn to depend on You, and we get to participate with You in Your great movement in the world. So I thank You for each student, each person that is here today. You know what each one is facing and dealing with. You know what their comfort zones might be. You know where You're pushing them and nudging them. And I pray, Lord, that today You would remove any fear and bring the courage to take the steps that You're calling each of us to take for our own growth and for Your kingdom growth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Kirk. Kirk will be in Common Grounds for some conversation. If you're not comfortable with that, then maybe you should go. And maybe sit with him instead of at like the table like beside him and kind of like listen secondhand. But anyways, let's sing number 74 as ascending song. Number 74. And let's say that women are number one and men are number two, because we're going to split. So let's say women are one and men are two, but let's sing it together first. Oh, sorry, the Green Book. Yeah, number 74 in the Green Book. That's a detail there.
Now go in peace, now go in love, from the Father above. Jesus Christ the Son, stay with you till the day is done. Holy Spirit, encircle you in all you think and do. Go in peace, God's blessing be with us. Amen.
Now go in peace, now go in love,
from the Father above.
Amen.
Now go in peace, now go in love, from the Father above. Jesus Christ the Son, stay with you till the day is done. Holy Spirit, encircle you. Blessing be with you.